Hello, I want to welcome you to the Trucking for Jesus broadcast. My name is Chaplain Blondie Gregory, and I know today that you'll be blessed of the Lord if you'll stay tuned and hear God's word. But first, I'd like to pray for you. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, the sweet, holy name of Jesus, that you reach down and touch the hearts of the listeners today. God, many people today have so many needs, and they're hurting. They need help, and we call on you, Lord, to help us. We pray, God, that right now, if there be those that are listening that are not born again, that you'll give them revelation knowledge that the only way into you is through your Son, Jesus Christ, that they must receive him as their Lord and Savior, that they must be born again. Make them to know and realize, no matter how good they think they are or how righteous, still a man must be born again. Father God, and make the ones that realize that they have done wicked things, that there's no hope for them, let them know that you said in your word you would in no wise cast anyone out that came to you, that if they come with a true repentant heart, that you'll forgive them, take them in, and restore them into salvation and to the family of God. God, I pray, move across our land today. Bring revival in America. We know we need to get back to church. We know we need to get on our knees. And we need to pray like never before. And God, I pray for revival, but let it begin in our hearts today. Let it begin in my heart today. And it's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Today, I want you to realize if you want to know what's going to happen in the future, you look back in history because history repeats itself. And today, I want to read a portion of scripture out of God's word. And I want to explain to you some things that was happening then. And I want you to see what's happening now. If they did what they did, and they got the results they got, if we do what they did, we're going to get the same results. Let me repeat that again. If they did what they did and got the results they got, if we do what they did, we're going to get the same results. God's word is faithful. God's word is true. God is not a respecter of man. For what he done for one, he'll do for another. In 1 Kings chapter 18, and I want to read verse 37, this is a prayer that Elijah prayed. This is part of the prayer that he prayed. And he called all the people together, and he began to pray, and this is what he prayed. Verse 37, he said, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up all the water in the trench." And this is the part I love right here. "And when they saw it, they fell on their faces. When the people saw this mighty move of God, the fire of God fall, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.'" Now, in Elijah's time, I want to make some statements now. I still believe in God. I still believe in the good old USA. I believe in God, and I believe in country. And I know the reason, the only reason America is great is because in times past she honored God. Men and women that have stood for truth and freedom and have given their lives that we could be free to worship. The enemy is trying to take that away from us. But we must make a stand today for our God and our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Politicians have come and they have gone, but God's word is still standing. Presidents have come and they have gone, but God's word is still standing. Their speeches and promises have come and they have gone, but God's word is still standing. Laws have been made and passed. They have come, they have gone, but God's word is still standing. Wars have come and they have gone, but God's word is still standing and God's word is still true. The naysayers have come and they have gone, but God's word is still standing. The doubters and the haters have come and they have gone, but God's word is still standing. The atheists have come and they have gone. They have got their busloads. They have packed up. They have protested. But God's word is still standing. We're still here. God's word is still standing. No weapon formed against God's word is going to prosper. God will get the victory in the end. Every time he has, he always has, he always is, and he always will. As my mama used to say, put that down in your little black book. I love that. Put that down in your little black book. God's word is not going anywhere. Do what you want to do. Say what you want to do. But God is still going to have the victory in the end, and he has it now. He has never lost it. God's people are victorious. Now, in Elijah's day, this is how it was. They had evil rulers, Jezebel and Ahab. They were two of the most wicked people we could read about in the Bible. They were evil rulers. They caused the nation, evil rulers causes the nation to turn from God. Ring a bell? Ring a bell? Evil rulers causes a nation to turn from God. That's what happened in Elijah's day. There was tolerance of worship for false gods and was based on violence and murder of children. Their false religion in Ahab and Jezebel's day was based on violence and murder of children. Sound familiar? That's what was happening in Elijah's day. There was a great hatred for the word of God during Elijah's day. Does that sound familiar? There's a hatred of God's people and the killing of them. Does that sound familiar? There's a great hatred all over the world today for Christians and Jews. Anything that has to do with God Almighty and his word is hated, and they're wanting to stamp it out, and they're wanting to kill it. The same thing that happened in Nazi Germany is happening in our world today with the Christians and the Jews. Wake up. The same thing that was happening in Elijah's day is happening in our day today. They blame God's people for the nation's troubles. That's what's happening. That happened in Elijah's day. That's happening in today. And because of that, there was a famine and drought in Elijah's day. And because the same thing that they did then, they're doing now, we have the same thing happening in our country today. Not a bread and water, but we have a famine of peace. There's trouble on every hand. There's wickedness on every hand. There's famine of law-abiding people. People gone crazy and fighting in the streets, trying to kill one another and destroy races and hatred among one another. Same thing happened in Elijah's day. There's a famine in his day, and there's a famine in our land today. And a famine not of the preaching of the word, but of hearing it. People don't want to hear the truth. They want to believe a lie. They want to think they can do anything they want to do and still go to heaven. It's not going to work. It has never worked, and it's not about to. God is a holy God. God's grace will help us to live right and do right. All you have to do is receive it. And something else they did in Elijah's day that's happening in our country today. They built pagan shrines for immoral sexual sins throughout all the land. Well, I got news for you. Our country has them all beat. Never. I mean, I was watching a commercial on TV the other day, and I still don't know what they're advertising. There's this woman come out in a very skimpy bikini, with everything hanging out and talking about something, and everything has to do with sex, immoral. You flip the channels and it's amazing at the evil and the wickedness that's going on. The dress of the young people today and women today is appalling. It's amazing when you go shopping, and some of you older ladies know what I'm talking about, when you go try to find a decent dress to wear to church. You can't, well, first off, nobody wants to wear a dress to church anymore. It's blue jeans and t-shirts, and if that's all you got, that's fine, but I do think once in a while it's all right to put a suit and a tie on and a dress to go to the house of God. If you was invited to somewhere special, you wouldn't wear your blue jeans with your knees hanging out and put on a blouse that everything was hanging out. But now when you go buy something, you got to buy two or three blouses just to wear one, because they don't have any blouses that cover up. You got to have something down under it that everything won't be showing. But that's acceptable. We're in a time now that a man has disguised himself as a woman, and they got him on the covers of magazines and being praised. And then an athlete that wants to get down on his knees and pray, they want to crucify him. It's a double standard. And that's where it was in Elijah's day. It was a double standard. The world could do their thing, but God's people weren't allowed. Now they're wanting to put restrictions on Christian schools and tell them you can't do this and you can't do that. But the world can do whatever they want to. They can even have Satan worshipers in their so-called Bible studies. The American armies today, our armed forces don't want the chaplains to pray in the name of Jesus. Well, my Lord, what are you gonna, if you're a preacher of the gospel, what other name is there? I love what the apostle says. We ought to obey God rather than man. When they told Daniel he couldn't pray, he flew the windows open and got out and prayed 3 times a day anyway. They put him in the lion's den, but that didn't hold him. Don't be afraid of the lion's den. Same God that went in with Daniel go in with you. Make a stand. What I'm saying is this. Elijah lived in the exact same time that we're living in. There was a famine, there was turmoil, there was evil, there was stealing of the people's land, there was killing of the babies, there was immorality, there was even temple prostitutes, same thing. And one man, one preacher stood up face to face. He didn't go behind some little peon, he went right straight in Ahab's face and told him why things were like the word, told him what God was going to do, told him what was going to happen, told him because of the evil that there was going to be famine in the land and a drought for 3.5 years, and guess what? It came to pass just like he said. He wasn't afraid to tell the truth. He didn't worry about what men would say or what they was going to do to him. Where are the men and women with backbone today? Where are you? Why won't you stand up? Are you afraid? Are you afraid God's not big enough to take care of you? You say, well, what if they kill me? So what? Goodbye, world. Hello, Jesus. What a threat. I'm going home to be with Jesus. That's what I'm living for now, is the day he calls me home, when I go home to be with him. And I want to preach to the day I die. I pray. My husband used to say, and I loved it when he said this, he used to say, we need to pray that we'll have a backbone as big as a saw log. You need some backbone, Christian. You need to be able to stand up and say, whoa, wait a minute, that's not right. That's against God, and I'm not for it, not going to be for it, not going to stand for it. That's why America is in the shape it's in now. That's why we're having fighting. You have to have policemen in school now. They replaced the Bible with policemen. They have checkpoints in schools because they don't know who's going to come in and try to kill everybody. Even now in churches, they're going in and killing innocent people praying. Oh my gosh, where are we headed? Same thing. We said, well, what's the remedy? A friend of ours wrote a song. My son and grandson has sung it many, many times, but it's the whole remedy for America. And the name of the song is Get Back to Church. Get on your knees and pray. Get back to church. Get on. You say, well, what do you mean get on your knees? Well, some of you don't know what I'm talking about, but long years, many years ago, there used to be a thing in churches called an altar. You went down to the altar, you knelt down before God, and you prayed. Now, we just don't want an instant, just get in line real quick, and that's fine. I do that a lot. We have prayer lines, so that's okay, that's fine. But where did the getting on your knees and praying, where did that go? Humbling yourself before God. I love that scripture in 2 Chronicles 7:14 where it says, if my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven. I used to wonder why God would always say, why would we have to call out sin and turn from our wicked ways? And it's because the world today don't know what sin is. If they can't stop it, they'll legalize it. That's where we are today. If they can't stop drugs, they'll legalize it. If they can't stop immorality, they'll legalize it. It'll make it legal for you to just go say, well, I went out and I done wrong and I did this and I did that, so I'll just go have them kill this baby and I'll go on with, hey, listen, hey, come on, people. We need to wake up. They had this and there was turmoil in the land, there was trouble in the land, but one preacher, one good old preacher. I heard a man on TV the other day talking against old-time preachers who used to preach hellfire and brimstone. We don't need that anymore. My Lord, if ever there was a time we need some good old hellfire and brimstone preachers, we need them now. Somebody with a backbone, please stand up. Somebody with some intestinal fortitude, please make a stand in this country. Please stand up and say, we got to get back to church. We got to get on our knees and we got to pray. That's what Elijah said. So we got to have a showdown. Get on a mountain. Meet me on a mountain. Go let the prophets of Baal go first. Put down their sacrifice. Put it on their altar. And the God that answers by fire, that's the God we're going to serve. They said, fine, we'll do that. And the prophets of Baal, they got together. They began to pray and cry and carry on and cut their sails. Have you ever noticed that false religions want you to destroy yourself? That false religions want you to put on a show. You can never be good enough to be a part of them. You got to keep proving yourself. And that's what they did. They cried, they cut themselves, and they carried on, and they pranced back and forth. They did their ritual, they did their thing. They had their holy garments on. They was back and forth. They were in cahoots with Jezebel. Some of them ate at her table, and they were big wigs, and they thought they could buy clout with God by who they were. It didn't work then. It's not going to work now. I don't care who you know. If you don't know God personally, you in trouble. Now, my friend used to say, if you ain't got Jesus, you better get Jesus because you're going to need Jesus. That's what happened that day on the mountain. They carried on. They cried. They cut themselves, and they went back and forth, and nothing happened. No sign of fire came down. The Bible says in the last days that man will have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power thereof. And he said, from such turn away from. Turn away from them. We got people today, they have, I don't even know if they have a form of godliness. If you got a form of godliness, you at least got to look godly. You say, are you a clothesline preacher? No, I'm not, but I do know decency from vulgar. Okay? They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. There's preachers today that are saying, just go on, keep on doing what you're doing and say this over so many times or read this book. Listen, if you don't repent of your sin, don't ask forgiveness of it, you're not going to get the victory over it, and it's going to be held against you. The only way you can have power in your life is to get free from your sin. There's power in the blood. Remember those old songs? There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You gotta go back to the old time preaching forgiveness of sin through the blood of Jesus. Jesus was crucified on the cross. He rose on the third day. He lives to make intercession for you and me. There's no other gospel except the gospel of Jesus Christ. Elijah stood up and he said, okay, now it's my turn. He got barrels of water. He poured it over the stone. He poured until everything was floating. The wood was saturated with water. The sacrifice was saturated with water. He repaired the altar. And then he got out and he prayed. And he prayed. And in just a few words, the fire of God fell. The fire of God fell and exposed. Now listen. Listen very carefully. When the fire of God falls in a country, when the fire of God falls in a state, when the fire of God falls in a city, when the fire of God falls in a family, in a church, or an individual, it will expose everything that is false. I hope you heard that. I hope you heard that. You will know what's true, and you will know what's evil when the fire of God, you say, what is the fire of God? The fire of God is repentance through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I have friends in a place, been going to their church for many years. Went through there not long ago and their church was shut up and up for sale. And I asked my friend, I said, what happened? And my friend told me, said, if someone had drove up on the outside and said, we're going to shut you off from this church and you won't be able to go in and we're going to keep you from going in that church, she said, we would have fought to the last man to be able to enter our church. But she said, the war, the defeat came from within. See, when you don't recognize the spirit of evil when it's coming within, first thing you know, it'll be done took you over and shut your doors and shut you down, and you won't be able to operate. That's what's happening in America. The enemy is already in our country, already come in under the foundation and chipping away on a foundation of freedom, of religion, freedom of speech, freedom to survive and to do what's right, chipping away at our freedoms. Why? Because we've done the same thing that they were doing in Elijah's day, but one man stood up and said, it's time we stop this stuff. One man, one preacher, one voice. change the course of a nation. When he prayed, the fire of God came down. It burned up stones. It burned up the altar. It burned up the sacrifice. It burned up everything. It licked up the water. It licked up the dust. No doubt, it was God. And because one man stood, the hearts of the people were turned back to God. And the rain came, and the drought ended. Do you want the rain of God in your life? Do you want the droughts in your life to stop? Do you want to feel the power of God in your life one more time? Do you want to see your children spared and your family spared and your nation spared? If so, get on your knees and pray the fire of God down. Do it. Elijah did it. It changed the nation. We can do it. It will change our nation. It will change where we're at. It's got to start. It's got to start somewhere. Why can't it start right there? Even if you're a Christian and you're in prison, hey, that fire can come in that prison cell. Even if you're in a hospital room, that fire can come in that hospital room. Even if you're in a bondage of any kind, that fire can come in and set you free. The same fire, the same thing that came in Paul and Silas when they were in prison and shook that prison, shook the nation that day. Two men prayed that day. Elijah prayed that day. If you and I will join together, we can see revival in our land. It happened with that one man, Elijah, one prophet of God that wasn't afraid to stand up. It can happen with you and me. But we have got to stand on our mountain. We have got to stand before our altar. And we have got to do the praying for ourselves and pray until the fire of God comes. John the Baptist said, I must decrease, but he must increase. And he said, there's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not even worthy to unlatch, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We need that fire in our life, and that's God's fire. It's not a destructive fire. It's a fire of restoration, a fire of healing, a fire of peace. And you've got to allow it to come into your life. Don't turn him away. Don't cause God to say no. He stood against, Elijah stood against a whole nation. He wasn't afraid to make a stand. He wasn't afraid of the politicians. He wasn't afraid. You know what? Later, he got word that Jezebel was going to kill him, and he let fear come in his life, and he threw himself down on a Jupiter tree and wanted to give up. And God sent him an angel, told him to get up, baked him a cake, and gave him some water, and he went 40 days on the power of the meal that God gave him. God can do the same for you. God can do. You don't have to be fearful of the Ahab. I was praying one day, and I said, Lord, we got some wicked leaders in our country that's standing for ungodly things. What's going to happen? He said, Blondie, don't worry about it. I took care of Ahab and Jezebel, and I can take care of the rest of them. I was in a little convenience store the other day. I was getting me a couple hot dogs, and one of the girls said, there's a woman coming here. She says she's just Jezebel made all over. And I said, well, you better tell her what happened to Jezebel. Her bodyguards pushed her out of upstairs window, and when she fell to the ground, the dogs ate her up, licked her blood up in the street. I said, you better be careful how you name yourself Jezebel, how you name yourself Ahab. But now there's a choice that you're going to make today. Now you're going to make one or the other. You're going to do what they did and get what they got, or you're going to do what Elijah did and get what he got. They followed Ahab and Jezebel, and they got a wicked, evil nation headed for destruction. But they followed Elijah, and they got a revival, and they got fire because Elijah stood for God. Today, you're choosing right now which route you're going to take. You're either going to stand for God, or you're going to go along with this evil report and evil doings in the country today. Because if you do what they did, you're going to get what they got. But if you do what he did, you're going to get what he got. Speaking of Elijah, the choice is yours. The choice is yours. No man can make you do right. You've got to want to, and God has to help you with that. You have to come to Jesus. You know, the prodigal son, before he could get up out of the hog pen, I want you to listen to this. Before the prodigal son could get up out of the hog pen, he had to say to himself, in my father's house, they got plenty, and I'm getting up. Before you get up out of that mess you're in, you got to say, I'm going to my father's house, and I'm going to make it right. That's your first step. And when you make your first step, God will come down and meet you and help you to make the rest of them. Like he did the prodigal son, he'll do for you. He'll do for me. The road of repentance is a road to restoration, the road of hope, the road of help, the road of comfort. We don't need to be under divine judgment. We needed to be under divine protection. And you can only do that when you chose the route like Elijah, when you chose the route like Moses, when you chose the route that Joseph took, when you chose the route that Abraham took, when you chose the route that Noah took. Obey God. Obey God, because there's victory in Jesus. No other way, no other name, except through the name of Jesus. God bless you today. I want to thank you for listening in to the broadcast. I pray that the broadcast has been an encouragement to you, and I pray that you'll take this word serious. We live in a serious time. Great things are getting ready to happen in our country, and we need not be afraid. We need not to be fearful. There's hope in Jesus, and we need to be under the shadow of the Almighty, not under the shadow and influence of the wicked. But that's only a choice that you can make. Choose this day salvation. Choose Jesus and walk in His love. Today, I want you to know that I'll pray for you. You write me your prayer request, and I promise I'll pray for you. But I ask that you pray for me as well, because, see, that's a two-way street. We need to pray one for another. I had a lady one time kind of imply that her work and her church was more spiritual than others. Listen, you know, you can't do that. God is not a respecter of persons. What He's done for one, He'll do for another. You're important to Jesus. He loves you. He died for you. Jesus loves you. The first songs I ever remember singing or hearing is Jesus Loves Me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Man might have told you that He don't love you, but Jesus told you He loves you. So which one are you going to choose? Choose Jesus and be blessed of Him. Visit my website, truckingforjesus.org. Thank you for listening in to the broadcast today. And I pray you have a marvelous day in Jesus, that you'll walk in faith knowing you don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God.